This is Kara Jones here with the Creative Grief Studio, bringing you another creative conversation today. We're going to be talking with Julie Gell and Amber Jacoby, who founded the Center for CreativeGrief.com down in Tucson, Arizona. They're both certified creative grief practitioners through here at the studio. And Julie is also a licensed clinical social worker with a private psychotherapy practice. And Amber's been doing group facilitation for many years and also brings to the table a national certification in therapeutic massage and bodywork. Both of them have worked with hundreds of families at the end of life and experiencing grief after death of loved ones. They've both had personal experiences of loss, the death of a sister and the death of a husband. And they're bringing such creative work to a new course that they're offering in a group setting. It's a Creative Grief Exploration 101. They're going to be offering it twice a year through their center. And I wanted to talk with them a little bit today about how, as practitioners, creativity has played a part in the creation of their business and the creation of their course and in the implementation of the course and the interactions they're having with their clients in the group setting. They were both very generous with their time and sharing their experiences today. So I hope you enjoy the conversation. And you can find out more about their work at centerforcreativegrief.com. Hi, everybody. This is Kara with my Creative Grief Studio hat on today, and I'm here with Julie and Amber, and they're from the centerforcreativegrief.com, and they're going to talk with us today a little bit about their process of the creative grief work that they're doing in the world and a new course that they've launched. And so welcome. I'm so glad you guys are both here today. Thank you.
Thanks, Kara.
Yeah. I'm wondering if you might talk a little bit to us about what it's been like sort of as practitioners in terms of the business side of things to shift a little bit from doing one-on-one sessions with clients to moving into doing group work through this Center for Creative Grief, which is a new endeavor, I think, for both of you. What was it like to try to start getting that started and get the center launched and everything?
Well, this is Amber. Hi.
Hi.
I have been doing grief support facilitation for 20 years in this way. So this was really a new and exciting startup for us. So it was good that I had a background to draw on.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, able to incorporate all this new creative goodness that that we got from the Creative Groove Studio.
How about you, Julie? Were there new things in terms of the business side of getting set up for doing the course?
You know, I'm proud of Amber and I because we met quite a few times in the development stages of, you know, first it was what we were going to name the center, and then what we were going to name the group, and then creating a website, looking at the space that we had, and figuring out how many people could we fit and the tables and what kind of supplies did we need, whether or not we did intakes, and how extensive we did them with the new clients. I'm proud of us because it never felt like work when we got together to design the course.
That's lovely.
And what we did is we went through all of the things that we learned, the different prompts and activities and conversations that we learned in the course. And then we looked through and said, what kind of order we might like to put them in, what kind of supplies we needed to purchase for them, what new things we'd like to incorporate. So it was actually an exciting creative time for both of us.
Yeah, that fascinates me in terms of doing this work. The creativity is in the services we offer, but the creativity is there in the work that we're doing to make those offerings happen too.
Definitely.
We both went on little explorations each time that we met or developed the protocol of our own grief work. You know, how does this feel for us? What's this going to be like for them? So in a very practical way, we kind of had to think that through a little bit. Mm-hmm. And did we have enough space?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't know if Amber would agree with this. We both had such wonderful experiences with your course that, you know, each of us were saying, oh, this was my favorite. Puzzle of Self was, I think, my favorite. Mm-hmm. And then Amber had different ones that she liked. And so that was fun too, to hear what she got out of some of the activities or some of the prompts that were different for me. Mm-hmm. And then they sort of opened up in a different way to me. So that was a neat process.
Yes, I would agree with that too. Your experience compared to my experience was often very different in the way that we did it. You know, I tended to not follow direction quite as much as
you. I love that.
But yeah, so that just creating that piece was really interesting, to do it in a practical, logistical way, but also explore what it may or may not be like for our clients.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that really helps us as practitioners to have that really personal sort of in our bones experience. Mm-hmm. And then when you're talking to each other and see how different those experiences were, that really opens the eyes and the heart to how different it can be for somebody else.
Yeah. And it was also great because it created a space for us to collectively add what we had and create something new together. You know, mm-hmm. we would things, and you know, sometimes we went right by the book, sometimes we didn't, and successful. I think it was just really, really a good creative process, just setting it up.
Yeah. I wonder how you feel now, because you've had your first group come through, and you know, as practitioners, part of that process is really tapping into our own self-assessment stuff, right? Really being honest with ourselves about what works, what doesn't work, what was surprising. What kinds of things happened as you did that first group through the center, you know, that either surprised you or worked or didn't work? What were your feelings about the actual implementation of it, how it unfolded for people?
Well, can I back up just a bit? We, mm-hmm. in setting up each week, we really wanted to make sure that we touched on three or four: agency, hope, belonging, mm-hmm. language, community. You know, we really looked at what we were offering, and so that was very purposeful and mindful each week. And then Julie, I'll let you talk a little bit more about, you know, what worked and what didn't work. But yeah. I felt that important. That was important. Like we didn't spend 1 week on hope. We didn't, and then go to the, you know, we tried to incorporate, we made sure that they got a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Offered a little bit of everything to explore each week. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't.
What I was going to say, and this is a small part, I think, of your question, Kara, is as practitioners, one of the things I really appreciated about Amber, we would debrief each night. Mm-hmm. After the group members left, and she, I think from the get-go, she said, how did you feel I did tonight? Was there anything that I did that you think, I don't know, was problematic? I don't know how she worded it exactly. And at first I was surprised, and I was like, oh, and then I asked the same question, and she gave me feedback, and sometimes that's, do you remember that, Amber? And sometimes that's hard to hear, mm-hmm. Or it's hard to, because one of the things as far as my self-assessment is I can talk too much. And it was good to have somebody else there to, you know, to be balancing or to move me on, or I think I need to get a point across. And so there's some growth there for me, and so it's helpful to have a co-facilitator that can give you that feedback and that's open to giving it to you, and it's also open to hearing it from you. So I really acknowledge Amber for bringing that to the process.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Julie.
You're welcome.
And did that help you in the process of the course, like as the course was unfolding? So if one week you debriefed and there were things, were you able to adjust, you know, right in the process? So again, a practice, not a perfect, right as it's unfolding, are you, did you feel like you were adjusting as the group was unfolding for what you were doing each week?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Amber, yeah. When you were saying that it didn't always work every week, was there anything in particular that, you know, one week, okay, that really didn't work, and that you kind of remember adjusting in the next week or anything?
The one thing that didn't work, I mean, I want to spend some time on what did work for sure.
Yeah.
But this is sort of a little, you know, our experience. So the one piece that didn't work, we didn't, it wasn't a matter of adjusting it that night. And right. Because each night was such an individual process, what's come of it is our next 8-week session, mm-hmm. we will eliminate that or tweak it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In that evening, I'll tell you, we did, I drew upon your grief and creativity 10-day course of grief in the body, mm-hmm. and tried to put all 10 of those days into one night, into one meditation.
That's big stuff. Yeah.
Well, spending less time on each body part, more mm-hmm. of a, it was a 15 minute, maybe just meditation through the body. Mm-hmm. But it was, I think it was the space that we created. I think it was the darker room, the meditation music, the invitation to relax, the permission to let go, lay it down. I actually said those words when we got to shoulders, mm-hmm. take it off, lay it down. And they did. Mm-hmm. And we were not prepared, you know, to how deep they went. And Julie and I each got pulled away to do a little one-on-one coaching, which left a couple of people in the activity room sitting there, mm-hmm. kind of like, you know, now what do we do? Mm-hmm. So it's not that I wouldn't do the meditation again. I would set it up differently.
Yes. Yeah.
Where I think it went wrong, and Julie and I have talked about this, you know, we lost the structure of the group. Mm-hmm. Whatever came up was going to come up. Mm-hmm. We are both qualified to handle whatever comes up, or we know how to refer out. But, you know, luckily I have a master queen, Julie, here with her education. So, so that really wasn't it for me. For me, we lost a little bit of the structure of the group or the safety of the group, mm-hmm. because we had to leave a couple of people sitting doing their activity unfacilitated for 15, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that didn't work. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, when it comes to groups, mm-hmm. you know, the coach or the facilitator's job is to hold the structure of that group. Mm-hmm. And I feel I wasn't able to do that. I had to actually take a client into the room, and then Julie was with another gal. Mm-hmm. So that I would restructure.
Yeah. And, you know, you find that, I think, as you just go out in the world and practice. I know we did a lot of large conference workshops where, you know, 25 or 50 people would come in. And the very first ones I did, I didn't have the extra person mm-hmm. to go off and do the one-on-one. So if I went off and did the one-on-one, then the other 49 people.
Right. Yeah, that's how Julie felt, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely a learning curve. Yeah. And doing, you can absolutely structure it differently next time. That's great. I love that you're thinking about how to tweak things.
Add, you know, a different creative way of exploring. And mm-hmm. so, you know, because I am a massage practitioner and, mm-hmm. you know, it was important for me to address the physical body a little bit. And
yeah.
Julie, of course, was on board, but we were not prepared at how deep and mm-hmm. in a little bit of trauma in both of their backgrounds. So, mm-hmm. so just something to be mindful of
Yeah, when you're doing that body kind of work, you really could do that whole thing as a series by itself.
Yeah, well,
for what comes up for people sometimes, yeah.
The Tonglen meditation that inspired mm-hmm. me, you know, invited in, and mm-hmm. So just that piece didn't have the insight that I'd hoped that they would come out.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really mind bender kind of tool sometimes. It goes counterintuitive to what we do here in the West. Yes. Yeah, yeah. So what really worked? Like, were there things that really, really worked, or things that surprised you? You were like, oh, this is awesome. This landed.
Dia de los Muertos. And
that was, we had structured the whole 8 weeks, and we were very excited about the, you know, what we had set up. And then about the second week, one of, you know, here in Tucson, Arizona, there's huge All Souls procession,
sure.
Dia de los Muertos. It's probably in other parts of the country, people might not know what I'm talking about, but the Day of the Dead, a celebration of souls. It's very much Mexican tradition. And practice. And so one of our group members talked about Dia de los Muertos, and we said, oh, because we met on November 1st, I think it was.
Mm, right.
And so we created an altar within the space, and we had candles, and we invited people to bring in food and belongings and clothes and pictures. And it was, for me, the most powerful evening that we had.
Mm-hmm.
The connection, the sadness, the love, it was beautiful. It was beautiful to hear and see more about their loved ones. And then Amber and I brought items too, and we weren't, you know, we were following how it was going. And at the end of their sharing, they're like, what about you guys? Aren't you going to share?
Oh, that's lovely.
And so that was meaningful. And they even brought that up in our evaluation, that was one of the things they really liked about the group, is that Amber and I, we weren't participants, but we were sharing, you know, part of our stories as well. And that was helpful to them, and it meant something to them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Dia de los Muertos, I think, was the surprise for me. A very pleasant,
yeah,
surprise.
I love too that idea that they were really tapping into the ways you were not standing apart from them. You know, sort of our expert, sort of capitalist kind of culture can really sort of engender that. Well, I'm the expert, and here I am with all the answers, and you're just the participants. So I love that they were really tapping into that the ways that you were standing with them. That you were, you know, being a part of, facilitating the group, but part of the group also. That's a powerful place to create from.
Yeah.
Yeah, and collaborate.
Yeah.
Can I add on to that a little bit, Julie?
Sure.
That for that evening, we had set up the whole 8 weeks prior to our start date.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Scheduled for that night was Remembering Conversations. And we weren't going to do anything else except go around the room and let them, you know, we were going to do Remembering Conversations with mm-hmm. them. Well, we decided to do the Dia de los Muertos. Mm-hmm. We thought, let's incorporate the two.
Mm-hmm.
So we incorporate that. We opened it up where the other, each member could do their, you know, they were asking questions and exploring each other. And it really provided an opportunity for them to ask questions about other people's grief.
Mm-hmm.
And it provided an opportunity for them to talk to other people about their grief, and all in the context of a remembering conversation. So they were all sharing about the lives of their loved ones. And it was really just remarkable. I'm with Julie. I think that was the biggest surprise, but there were many, many tools and many, many gifts within one activity that really came together in a very meaningful way.
Yeah. I can see how what you were saying about wanting to touch on hope and agency and belonging in every session. Mm-hmm. I can see that because, it, you know, in that blend of remembering conversations and creating the ofrenda and, you know, giving them the opportunity to talk, you're really engendering that sense of belonging for people. And that's really different than sometimes a traditional support group where, you know, you come in the next month and everybody says, okay, well, what's your story? And sort of the stories that get repeated are the stories of the death. Mm-hmm. And this sounds like you really had this very tangible experience with seeing photographs and, yeah. you know, hearing the stories about their lives and the food. And what a beautiful way to bring that all together for people.
Yeah, the food was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Each week we had something, we call it questions in a can, where we had questions set up, and at the beginning, everybody would draw a question out, mm-hmm. and then everybody would answer everyone's questions. So there were five questions that everyone answered, and all, you know, all in that context of mm-hmm. share about, you know, what would your loved one think about us all gathering here tonight? You know, how far you've come, or whatever the question was. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely.
And I think another thing that worked really well was the depth of connection between the participants. Mm-hmm. They had, you know, plans to go do stuff together, and they shared contact information. And I feel like we really facilitated a nice community for them outside of our space. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was good. So good.
I wonder, you know, you also, both of you did, coming through the Creative Grief Studio course, got your certification, and you created Creative Grief tools. Did you use the tools you created in the course, in the studio course for your certification? Did you use those tools in the course you created for the people attending?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Did it work? Was it lovely? Yeah. Was it fun?
Yes, I think it was very powerful. Note came up. I actually think Amber's creative tool was the best. Mm-hmm. And it was creating memory beads in our last session.
Yes.
I had never done one, so I did one that night, and Amber shared hers with the group, but it was so powerful. And then we passed the beads, the necklaces that people made, we passed them around as a closing ritual for people to offer blessings or support, or, you know, this is what I wish or hope for you. And it was beautiful. And everyone's necklaces looked different, or they had different ideas about what bead they wanted to pick for, to represent the death, or to represent the person that died, or to represent their relationship with them now. It was, it was fabulous.
Thanks. Lovely. I love that idea of each of the participants holding that piece for a bit before giving it back to the person and taking it with them. That's beautiful. Yeah.
Well, we knew we wanted to do a closing ceremony of some kind, and that it just worked. It just unfolded that way, and you know, we've learned to trust the unfolding of things.
Yay! Yeah. We love that.
Julie's creative grief tool is something she calls the remembering tree, and we actually have a life-size tree that we painted on the wall of our office, and it's just the outline of the tree with some leaves. And then as Julie's private clients come in and my coaching clients come in and our group comes in, what they do is they pick something that reminds them of their loved one, a bird, a hawk, a butterfly, a lantern, you know, whatever it is for them. Mm-hmm. And so then they do the work around the piece that they're creating, and then we hang them on the tree. That's and lovely. So, you know, we had butterflies and turtles, and people could just hang their picture of their loved one up there. And it was such a great opportunity to talk about how the person lived. And so Julie calls it the remembering tree, mm-hmm. which is perfect for that. So I wish we could send you a picture of that, but that probably wouldn't come across on the podcast. Trust
take
us.
I'm going to do a blog post with the podcast. So take a picture and send it. And for those of you listening, take a look at the blog post, and we'll have a photo in there for you.
It was so well done. It's so well done. Julie did such a great job with that. So
that's great.
Yeah. Our tools, and that was affirming for us as practitioners, yeah. You know, that we do get it, and we can do this work, and look what we created, and look how much it helped people. Mm. And for Julie to bless mine is such an honor. She's such a mentor of mine that it just, yeah. So thank you for that, for giving us that opportunity through the Creative Grief Studio to do that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy. Congratulations to you both, really. So big and huge. I'm so happy the group happened. I'm so happy it went well and that you're loving doing the work. It's so lovely to see. And I wonder if, you know, I'm kind of aware of the time. I know we need to kind of wrap up. I wonder if you could just talk a little bit here, just as an ending, about that sense of creativity going forward. You know, how do you think creativity is going to continue interweaving with the development of the center and with the development of the next courses? And where can people go to find out what's happening with you guys? Where can they tap in and find out when the next course is?
Well, they can go to www.centerforcreativegrief.com. We are going to be offering the group 2 times a year. Mm-hmm. So once in the fall and once in the spring, you know, the springtime, but probably more in the February, March timeframe. Mm-hmm. The other creative piece that Amber and I are talking about is offering Saturday, you know, a few hour type, like more intensives. So it wouldn't be every Saturday. It might be once a month, and people that have already done the course are invited to come back for that.
Oh, that's a great idea for kind of connecting, continuing that belonging with any alumni that come through. That's a lovely idea.
Yeah. And so we'll tweak the next group that we offer, you know, incorporating some of the things that we learned and, you know, and I think, you know, there's a possibility that some things might get switched around as we, you know, some things might be taken off or brought back at different times, or I don't know, like even, I was thinking not last minute changes, but you know, a lot of times with groups, sometimes you have to go with the flow.
Yeah. They really tell you something about what they need or want, right? Yeah.
More time. What?
More time. We need
more time. Yeah, we need more time. Yes. The first group, one of the first things one of the group members said when we were talking, she goes, I thought we were going to be creating things. she was ready to jump in. So
yeah, that's great. That's great. How about you, Amber? Creativity going forward, how does it keep interweaving with what you're doing?
Well, I think it can't be done without it, honestly. Yeah. I mean, we're already looking at bigger space, how to change it up, how to make it more easily accessible.
Yeah.
You know, we had so many ideas and so much to choose from. We really had to pick 8, you know, and it was hard.
Yeah.
So just how to grow it, how to keep it important, mm-hmm. and purposeful, and yeah, just kind of letting it unfold right now. You know, it just happened and we just got swept up in it, and now it's over. So we now we're just getting to the point where we're really sitting down to talk about, okay, how do we tweak it? But we had two-hour sessions, and they weren't long enough. So for those of you out there who are trying to set this up, we did 8 weeks. That seemed really good. Mm-hmm. We would both recommend it 2.5 hours, not two. Mm-hmm. And just really trust the flow. You know, yeah. If you provide the space and the tools, the work happens. So, And if anybody has any questions, please reach out. Our phone numbers are on our website. We'd be happy to talk to anybody else. Really, it was just such a wonderful experience.
That's great. Thank you so much. And I will put in the blog post that goes along with the podcast, I will put the website address so everyone can definitely click through and find you if they want to.
Thank you
both so much for being really generous with your time and your sharings and your ideas and the things that worked and didn't work today. It was really wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carol. We couldn't have done it without you.
That's right.
That's so sweet. Thank you, Julie and Amber. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.